Grace be yours and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is our second lesson taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Dear friends in Christ, rather than having Epiphany slip by tomorrow unnoticed, we'll exercise our Christian freedom to observe Gentile Christmas this morning. Epiphany, January 6th, is really the beginning of a series of Sundays that connects Christmas with Lent. After all, the reason that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem was in order that he could suffer and die up the road in Jerusalem. Our logo of our congregation, the cross, and behind it, the Bethlehem Star, is our constant reminder of that six-mile connection. Paul's words in this part of the beginning of his letter to the Ephesians are very personal. Obviously, all of his words come by the Holy Spirit and from the heart. But these words in particular were very personal for the apostle. And this text lends itself also to a very personal approach by a pastor who, on the basis of these words, writes a sermon. Paul writes about the gracious call of God not only to become a Christian, but to be also privileged to share with others the gospel of Jesus Christ, that mystery of Christ, which is this, that through the gospel, Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. This is a gracious call that I and all pastors share with the Apostle Paul. And we also share his joy and his gratitude to God, not only for making us Christians, but making us his spokesman. We have that joy and gratitude in this most undeserved and glorious work. And as Paul here expresses to the believers in Ephesus, I'll express to you this morning as well. It is my privilege to be your pastor. First of all, because then I can marvel with you at the wonders of God's manifold wisdom. And I can share with you Christ's unsearchable riches. This former persecutor of Christians, thank God that A gracious call from God had changed his life, had changed him from that persecutor to literally a house manager, an administrator of God's grace and a servant of the gospel. God's grace had not only called him an unbeliever to faith, it had called him from being a persecutor of Christians to a sharer of the gospel that makes Christians. He marveled at God's manifold wisdom about those things. It's my privilege to be your pastor as I marvel with you at God's manifold wisdom. The wisdom that called you and me when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and brought us to saving faith in Christ. I marvel with you at God's manifold wisdom that he would call sinful human beings like me and like Paul to be the ones who would share that wisdom and that mystery, to be the ones who would be his spokesman in the world, in the pastoral office of the public ministry. God's manifold wisdom is far beyond our understanding. It is beyond our sight. There is no way that we can see it or know it unless God reveals it. And that's what Paul means when he says that that mystery, that gospel was something that was hidden in him. Natural man did not know it. It wasn't part of man's nature. That mystery, that wisdom, the Gentiles are one with Israel in sharing the promise of Christ, was hidden in God until he shared it and revealed it. He revealed it, first of all, primarily to the nation Israel, although as we look through the Old Testament, we see, don't we, that there were many Gentiles who came to know that promise of Christ. But now, Paul says, in a special way, in a way beyond that, it's been revealed even more through the apostles and the prophets, as men like Paul would go out into the Gentile world and share and reveal Jesus Christ as their Savior. What had been limited in scope would now spread everywhere. It would spread far and wide as God would now build His church through the gospel. There would be both Jewish shepherds and Gentile magi who would come and worship Jesus. This is the manifold wisdom of God, that all people would come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and be saved. And this gospel of Christ would even be a revelation beyond sinners. It would be a revelation to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms. Even the angels would come to a greater appreciation that Gentiles, along with Israel, are heirs of God, co-sharers together of that forgiveness of sins and that eternal life. Even the angels would come to a greater appreciation that the gospel of Jesus Christ is for everyone. This is the manifold wisdom of God, the mystery, the Holy Spirit revealed through the apostles like Paul and reveals through pastors today. Who in the world would have ever thought that God would deign to save us after we slapped Him in the face with our unbelief and disobedience? Who would have ever thought that God the Father would love us so much, that He would love the world so much, that He would give up even His only begotten Son as the full payment for our sins, as Jesus sacrificed His life on the cross as our substitute? It is my privilege to be your pastor, because I get to marvel with you at that manifold wisdom of God. God called Paul and those Gentiles together for that work, just as today He calls pastors and God's people together for that work of marveling at God's manifold wisdom, of sharing that gospel that creates faith, that strengthens our faith, that preserves us in faith. The Spirit uses the gospel, that manifold wisdom of God, to strengthen and to extend His kingdom in the world. We enjoy some unique relationships that are not really of this world. We are, first of all, brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow believers in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we are also in that unique relationship of pastor and people, brought together by God's gracious call to marvel together regularly at the manifold wisdom of God, that He would save us and that He would use sinful human beings as the way of sharing that message. That is our work as the church. God has turned on the light and revealed to us Jesus as our Savior. And we are now those beacons that shine that light out into the world as the Spirit works through us. Together, as believers and pastor and people, we preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery. Paul rejoiced and thanked God that he had the privilege to be a pastor. I rejoice with him and thank God that I have the privilege to be your pastor, to share with you those unsearchable riches of God, to make plain the administration of this mystery. In other words, I manage God's Word, not my own words, not my own ideas to share with you, but as a manager of the mysteries of God, I have that privilege of sharing those mysteries with you. They are a mystery because they're beyond our understanding. We're blind to them. We can't see them. The word unsearchable really means hidden, unable to be detected, like a path that someone might make so lightly that you could not really see their footsteps until someone shows us where they are, reveals them to us. The Holy Spirit has revealed to us those unsearchable riches, those golden nuggets, those gold coins of the truths of God's Word. What are some of those? How about the eternal nature of God? God has no beginning. God has no end. What about that the eternal Son of God came into the flesh, the incarnation, that He became a true man. He became a human being, just like us. Or that His holy work and His innocent death should be credited to us as the atoning payment for our sins. What does it mean He descended into hell? He ascended into heaven. What a mystery that He rules all things in His providence for the sake of the church. What is my place in God's plan for this world? When is He going to come again? What will it mean for me when He comes again? And those are just to name a very few of those unsearchable golden coins and nuggets that God has revealed to us. It's my privilege to be your pastor because I get to share those with you. I get to reveal those things to you as you gave me and others the privilege to study for the ministry and to be called to be public servants of the gospel. There is a theory to which I do not subscribe, that pastors, when they preach, should not use big theological words because people might not understand them. I think that's a little bit like saying you should never show people gold because they might not understand what it really means, or they might not appreciate its true value. Certainly all those things need some explanation. Someone explained them to me. Now I get to explain them to you. And by the Holy Spirit, we acknowledge them. We accept them and believe in them and trust in them and to a degree come to know what they really mean, even if they're way beyond our understanding. We use our reason. We use our thinking to comprehend these mysteries of God as God reveals them. But the amount of our revelation, and the amount of our understanding of that revelation comes by the power of the Spirit, who illuminates us, enlightens us with His gifts, the gift of understanding and seeing those truths, even though they're beyond our full comprehension. These riches of God, these are the inexhaustible theme of our work together, of my preaching to you. The unsearchable riches of God are the inexhaustible theme of all of our study and learning and preaching and hearing, as the Holy Spirit uses those to build us and to extend the church. It's my privilege to be your pastor because I get to share those things with you. And in Him and through Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence, Paul says. The word freedom there has the idea, literally, of boldness to speak. It's like somebody, you go to somebody and they say, I want you to speak freely. And what does that mean? Be bold. Be daring in what you say. Because you know I will listen to you. You know that I will hear you. And so Paul says that in Christ and through Christ, we may speak freely and boldly to God and with confidence. The two areas we think about that the most, don't we, right away, are prayer, when we speak to God, but then also in confession. When we speak to God and confess our sins, we know that He hears us and that He answers us and forgives us. It includes our prayers, but we don't limit it to that. For these things, it was very personal to Paul. You notice that when he writes that, he didn't say, in Him and through Him, you may approach God with freedom and confidence. He said, in Him and through Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. We are bold to speak to God together. We are confident that He hears us. You and I, we, as pastor and people, marvel together at God's manifold wisdom. We, pastor and people, share with one another those unsearchable riches of Christ. This is our boldness and our confidence. Amen.